This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God. Of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. Let me read that the way it's supposed to be read. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, when I think about you, it brings joy into my heart. And the fact that we have enjoyed fellowship together from our first day together. He was saying there's something special that happened at the very inception that has continued. There are a lot of things that happen in our lives, but they're sort of like flash in the pan experiences. They become difficult to, Brother Donnie, would you bring that chair over here? My back's hurting. And I have to stand up every time I hear me preach, so I'm going to see what it's like to sit down and hear me preach. There are some things that don't gain root. They're great for the moment. They're great perhaps for that one service. Or maybe that one day. But they don't last. I mentioned to you sometimes at the end of a service, this is the kind of service that has a handle on it. You can pick it up and carry it with you. Paul said, when I think about you, I do not think about what happened the first time that you and I came in contact. But I think about what has transpired since then, what has existed consistently since then. And I'm going to tell you with my words here today, hopefully, why that has happened, why there are some things that lodge in our spirit. You remember that Elijah, in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, had just come off of Mount Carmel from a tremendous display of the power of God. And he found himself, in the very next chapter, running for his life. Jezebel had promised that she was going to take his life, just like he had taken the lives of those 850 false prophets. And what happened then, there was prepared for him a meal. And it was divinely prepared. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. Don't you really desire to hold on to the things that God does in your life? Where everything that happens, every intervention of the Holy Ghost in your life makes an indelible impression upon you. There are people that I remember meeting, and from the very first time that I met them or was introduced to them, there was a There was just a connection there. Paul said, I am very thankful. I'm very filled with joy about mine and your relationship. And then in verse 6, he uses a very important word. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it or finalize it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he used the word confident. And that's the phrase that leaps out to me today. Confident of this very thing. Now, things that you do not have confidence in are not going to be held dear. They're going to be treated like what they are. Sister Mahoney and I were talking yesterday about a particular business, and we have both decided that this particular business is not going to make it. And there's not, you know, there's no hard and fast reason for it. But it's hard to explain. I said to her, they don't have a hook. And I hate to even say this. But we're talking about Haman's. And hey, I don't know who owns it. They've got a nice building. We have eaten there a few times, drove through there a few times. You know, it's fine. You go by there, there's very seldom any cars there. And I hope they're not kin to you. You know, maybe your retirement is hinged upon what happens at Haman's. If that is the case, perhaps I would consider worrying. Very nice. The people are very nice. I told Sister Mahoney, they don't have a hook. A restaurant, a place of business, a convenience store, a church has to have a hook where people can get snagged by something that happens, something that they offer. And maybe that is just so simplistic and maybe even unkind of me to say that. But the things that make an impression upon you are things that lay hold of you. And he said, I am confident of this very thing, that what he has started in me, he will not bail out until it's completed. Is that refreshing to you? I'm telling you, that just helps me, that he's not going to bail out because I made some gross mistake. Remember, there's a difference between a mistake and a sin, okay? Keep that in mind. Or I have faltered, I have fallen short. Who hasn't? But it is very bolstering to know that he which hath begun something, I'm confident in that. I can rest on that. I can drive my stakes there. That he which hath begun this in me will finish it. He will complete it. So, that's what I'm talking about this morning, is having confidence in God. One man said, talk about confidence in God. If anybody had it, Noah had it. He had a wooden boat with two termites. And they multiply very fast. He was confident he had done what God had said. Turn with me to the 27th Psalm. You can't read. You just can't. It's impossible to read this chapter without feeling some elation coming into your spirit and your soul. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I didn't resist them. I did not set a trap for them. I did not ambush them. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I am confident that I have that available to me. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. One of the verses of scripture that I used in my first sermon, which was the first of next month, will be 40 years. Was verse 5 here. In time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. These scriptures are offering to me a confidence in God. If you're going to lean upon something, you have to lean upon something that will last. If you're leaning upon your looks, time is going to catch up. Eventually, there ain't no more bottles of stuff you can buy, and there ain't no more vials of stuff, and you run out of facelifts, and you can pretend that you're 18 and are 28 or 38, but you know, time takes care of all of that. You know, it just, and you know what? God doesn't heal old age. We don't have any scripture to say that God heals old age. Don't you wish he would get involved with that a little bit more? But it's a process. It's our process. If you have confidence in relationship, earthly relationships, you have to be very careful that you don't put all of your eggs into one basket. I've seen people that could only have one best friend at a time, and that one best friend they tell every intimate detail of their life to. They open themselves up to them completely. They shut out everybody else. They pour all of their energy into that one person. When, you know what? Spread that niceness and kindness around a little bit, because what does the Bible say? Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I've got a very good friend that applied for minister license when he was very young. And of course, a pastor has to send a letter of recommendation or explanation, fill out a little form before you can meet our district board for a local license. And my friend, his pastor wrote at the bottom of the page of the little form he was filling out, and he wrote, "This man is a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." So I said, "Well, they gave you license anyway." He said, "Oh, yeah. They knew Brother Dice was just being honest, you know, Brother O.C. Dice, who it was. And he just called the shots like they were." And he said, "At that time, I was very much a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." But confidence in or trust in an unfaithful man. This is what happens when you throw all of your eggs into God's baskets. What happens is like what happened to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, when God told him to take your son, your only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham got up early the next morning. He took the fire. He took the wood. Isaac went with him. They had servants, and they went up into the mountain. And when they got to the base of the mountain, Abraham said to his servants, "You stay here, and the boy and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again." Now, God had never said, "I want you to go up there and pretend like you're going to slay your son." No, he just said, "You take him up there and offer him as a sacrifice." But down, you see, Abraham had been rubbing shoulders with God long enough to know. Like the song said, and I heard somebody sing it the other day, "I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me." David could stand before Goliath and say, "I hear what you're saying. I see how big you are. You're ferocious. You're awesome. You're scary. You got an armor bearer just to carry your shield. And you got a loud, boisterous voice, and you're obviously a very mean guy. However, I have the great equalizer, and that is the name of the Lord my God." So he was confident in that. We need to have confidence in God because we can't save ourselves. There's no way we can figure out how to save ourselves. There's no way we can put that together. Our confidence is in the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, I believe, says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." That's comforting, to have a place of refuge. The writer said, "I'm confident in that." The Golden Gate Bridge was completed, I believe, in 1937. It was the highest, longest, widest, most costly bridge ever built. Up at that time, there had been many deaths from workers because of the danger of this project. So the engineers decided to put a safety net underneath the bridge at the cost of $100,000. And in the 30s, $100,000 was $100,000. It was a lot more than it would be now. But it was not because a lot of people fell off and they fell into the net. Far less people fell into the net than had fallen to their deaths. And the reason is the confidence that they had been given by having that net under them. Deuteronomy 33:27, I believe, says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Okay, that's confident, knowing that they are there. It's like driving along a cliff on the side of a mountain. I like guardrails. Someone just preached that. I don't know if it's Brother Stevens or Brother Donnie about guardrails. Guardrails are good. I've never hit a guardrail. Thank the Lord, as far as I know. But if they weren't there, I tell you what I would have done. I would have hit the side of the mountain, because I would have been just as far as I possibly could. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Jude, in his little book, said in the 24th verse that he is able to keep you from falling. Just knowing that he can be depended on, that he is there, that gives confidence to your life. And he which hath begun a good work will complete it, will finish it. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 12, I believe it is. I don't know did I give you that? God said, when I began, I will also make an end. I don't know if have we ever sung the song, God's gonna finish just what he started. We ever sing that? Even though the waters got to be parted, lift up your head, don't be brokenhearted. God's gonna finish what he started in you. He is. I'm confident of that. I received a phone call this morning from a friend that I had not talked to in several years, at least three or four. But he's the kind of guy we could meet and talk, and you'd think we had been fishing every day last week. And he has a great need. He does not feel like he can confidently share this with just anybody. But because of who I am and my connection to the church that he pastors, and he asked me to help him in some areas, but mostly to pray with him. And he was unsure of himself, I could tell. If I was in his shoes, I understand, I know that. And he needed somebody that he would know that he could trust. He needed somebody to trust. And I'm thankful that he was able to contact me. And I am going to give a lot of prayer to that. I told him to be confident of that. It takes a great load off of me when I go to prayer to be assured that God is involved. Brother Donnie shared with me something that happened to him last night. If he wants to share it with you, he can. But it was an experience of God letting him know, absolute, giving him confidence about a particular situation. And Paul said, I am confident of this very thing, that what he has begun, he'll finish. If you look at Romans chapter 8, This is really, really comforting scripture. And you know what? I get more confidence through the Word of God than anything else. Nothing around our world inspires great confidence. But Romans 8, follow with me, beginning at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? One little girl said, if God is for us, it don't matter who's against us. And that's true. It doesn't. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Notice these questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. That's a good word. I am convinced. I've got confidence that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Four questions were asked. Who can oppose us? Who can accuse us? Who can condemn us? Who can separate us? He answers that with confidence. He also has seven experiences that confidence in God answers. There's three inward. There's tribulation, distress, persecution. Then there is four outward experiences: famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Confidence in God deals with that. Then there are 10 opponents that we have that all try to separate us from the love of God, and he names them: death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature. 10 things. And he's got confidence in God that none of these things can separate me. Now, read those 10 things. Do you find yourself in any of those situations? Can you get your pulse on any one of those places? It's good to be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun. And remember, he said in 1 Samuel 3:12, what I have begun, I will also make an end. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, far grace to trust him more. And I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with. Praise God. Let's stand and sing. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I